This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The NCAA tournament is in full swing already. March Madness has taken over. Auburn almost lost to New Mexico State, but they hang on by a point. As Richard Ackerman just told us in our update, Michigan State is getting all they can handle from Belmont. And tomorrow, we're going to have a New York squad. The University of Buffalo, I should say SUNY Buffalo, will be taking on Arizona State. And we're joined now on the phone by Nate Oates, who is Buffalo's head coach. Welcome to Tiki and Tierney. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. As a father of four daughters, I must say happy belated birthday to your daughter, Lexi. Just turned 15. I saw it on Twitter from yesterday. I hope that was a great day.
So you got four daughters. So you know what 15 years old looks like?
No, not yet for a daughter. I have a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old son, but I don't have 15-year-old daughters yet. They're still young. They're still nine.
They're like, when they're 15, they think they're 21.
Well, my nine-year-old already thinks she's like 18 or something like that.
Yeah, so you got it. You got it.
Yeah, I'll be prepared. I got to at least try to be prepared. But congratulations on that. So the obvious question is about Bobby Hurley and your relationship with him and the fact that by the luck of the draw, I'll say, probably not. There's probably some coordinating going on behind here. The luck of the draw. Yeah, no. There's no such coincidence. No such thing as coincidence. Like Minnesota and Richard taking on
Louisville.
That
worked out well.
Yeah,
it did. That worked out well for the Patino family today.
It really did. But what do you, this has got to be awesome and emotional and hard. What is the emotion that you have right now getting ready to take on your former boss, so to speak?
Yeah, it's not ideal. I mean, look, I was a high school coach in the Detroit area for 11 years, so I would not even have been given this opportunity if it wasn't for Coach Hurley. So now, I mean, I pull for him. We're friends. I would rather not play him because if we weren't playing each other, I'd be pulling for him to win through the whole tournament. So,
yeah.
It is what it is. You know, I got to coach my guys. We're going to try to get a win. He's going to try to get a win. We're both ultra competitive, so we're gonna battle it out here till tomorrow night, and then we'll go back to being friends again after the game's over.
Yeah, now, Coach, you were in a high school coach in Detroit when Bobby quote unquote found you and brought you to his staff as soon as he got hired. How did that relationship start? I've read some of the stories, and it was just because it was recruiting trail. But I mean, he's on the trail a lot recruiting, and he developed a relationship with you. How did that happen?
Yeah, so the first time I ever talked to him, me and my assistant used to go out on, like in the fall, go to like an NBA training camp or a college and just watch practice before we'd start up. So I called their first year at Wagner. You know, Danny had just moved up from high school to Wagner, so I thought it'd be cool to go spend the weekend out there. And I called the offices, and Bobby actually answers. They didn't have a secretary, and he answers the phone at Wagner. So we traded cell phone numbers. I could never get it worked out because I wanted to come when Bob Senior was going to be there, and it never worked out. So then 2 years later, they go to Rhode Island, and they're recruiting my kid, E.C. Matthews. So that's when I got to know Danny and Bobby really well when they recruited E.C. E.C. ends up committing to them. So then, you know, they continued to come out through the course of that year. And then when Bobby got the job, shoot, he needed to find a staff, and I developed a relationship with Danny and Bobby both, and he ends up interviewing me at the Final Four, and he hired me.
Yeah.
So it turned out to work out all right for both of us, I think.
Yeah, it's worked out well for him and for you. We're talking to Nate Oates, head coach at Buffalo University. Buffalo has won three of the last four, and this is all under Coach Oates' watch, three of the last four MAC championships, and the one before Bobby left, you won as well. So you've been a part of a winning pedigree up there in Buffalo. What's been the key to the success at SUNY Buffalo? You guys are doing a hell of a job in the MAC.
I think, in my humble opinion, it's been the coaching. We're just that much better than everybody else.
Dude, I love it. I love it.
I'm just know, I think if you got really good players, all of a sudden you look like a really good coach. So we've been fortunate to, I mean, C.J. Massenburg was the MAC player of the year this year. Justin Moss was the MAC player of the year. Bobby's last year at Buffalo. We got two first team all. You get some really good players, and all of a sudden you win a lot of games and go to the tournament. So hopefully the recruiting continues to go well. We can keep getting good players in here to make up for the lack of coaching here now.
Yeah. That's completely the opposite, and you know it. C.J. Massenburg, he was just talking about, and Nick Perkins, who are your leading scorers. They're both seniors. And I have this conversation often with coaches. Tony Bennett down at Virginia, obviously my alma mater, he doesn't have to deal with the one-and-done phenomenon. Is it refreshing to be able to coach a kid and see him develop and turn him into the player that you envision him to be when you recruited him?
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's really special. He only had one other offer, you know, and it was from a pretty lower level school. So he was going to go to a junior college until we came in and offered him the spring after his senior year. So for him to go from really unrecruited to shoot, I mean, he was on National Player of the Year list this year. It speaks to how hard he works and like his character, and he's definitely not, kind of like you said, like Tony's not recruiting those one-and-dones, but we're getting kids like CJ that didn't have offers, and all of a sudden they're coming with a little chip on their shoulder and want to prove everybody wrong, and he's been playing that way for 4 years. I think he's 60 points away from being the all-time leading scorer in school history. If he hadn't missed, he's missed about 20 games due to injury, he'd already had it. So,
yeah.
He's a special kid to coach, and I'm fortunate that we were able to. Sometimes you got to get a little bit lucky in life. I got a little lucky with getting this job, and then you got to get lucky with some of the players you get, and he's definitely one of those.
Yeah, no, it is all about, that's half the job for college coaches, whether it's football or baseball or basketball, it doesn't matter. It's all about recruiting. Talking to Buffalo Bulls head coach Nate Oates. Now, talking about the recruiting trail and getting the good ones to come, when you have success like you have had success and Buffalo has had success in the MAC, it's all about the commitment. Like when you go sit in a kid's living room, his mom and his dad are sitting there with him. You're telling him, I'm going to grow your kid not only to a man, but a great basketball player. You just re-upped with Buffalo. Well, it did it right during the MAC tournament. That commitment, is it helping you on the recruiting trail? Because a lot of people, when they see success for coaches in college, they say, well, what's next for him? It doesn't seem like what's next is on the front of your burner right now.
Yeah, no, it definitely helps because, we're trying to build something special here, and my family loves it. Like, you've got kids at that age when you don't really want to move them. You don't want to be moving all over all the time. So we like in Buffalo, it'd have to be something really, really special to get us to leave. And Buffalo obviously appreciates what we're doing for them and, gave me a new contract, and we're going to continue to grow it. We've got three kids signed in the early period. Now we've got a couple kids we're recruiting now that we need to get signed here in the spring. And it definitely helps with recruiting and just helps knowing that, you've got something special that you've built and that you could continue to build, and the administration's behind you in building it.
Coach, when I look at your history, you guys were the 12th seed in 2015. You were the 14th seed in 2016. Last year, you were the 13th seed. Now you're the 6th seed. You won one first-round game. That was last year against Arizona. But is there more pressure now that you guys are a top 10 seed, or really almost a top 5 seed in the NCAA tournament? You're out in the West where Gonzaga is. But is there pressure for you guys?
Yeah, I think there's a little more pressure when you're a 6th seed than a 14th seed. But I'd rather be a 6th seed with a little more pressure. It means you're probably a little bit better than when you were a 14th seed or 13th seed. So, yeah, last year I think we kind of came in, and maybe Arizona, I don't want to say they overlooked us, but their coaching staff I'm sure did not, but maybe some of the players, they had some guys that are playing the NBA right now as rookies that could have overlooked us being that we were a 13th seed. I don't think Arizona State's going to overlook us right now when they're the 11 and we're the 6. So there probably is a little bit more pressure, but it's not bad pressure, though.
No, it's not. And the guys that you have, and the CJ who we were just talking about, and Nate, right, they've been here before, so they know the somewhat of the success and some of the failures. What's the message to them, and how are they approaching this? Because for some of them, this is their last opportunity.
Yeah, I don't want them to play with the pressure. I mean, it's going to be there. It's unavoidable, but we really just – let's concentrate on all the stuff you can control. You can control your effort, your preparation, Right now, you know, I think they're pretty locked in. If we just come out and play hard, and we preach that all the time, you play hard, play defense, focus on the effort stuff, the stuff you can control, your shot will just drop. You know, if you come in thinking about offense, you know, it tends to backfire all the time. Let's come in thinking about, talking about, being about the toughness, defense, and all that. And I think your offense will just follow. So, you know, with those guys having the great careers they've had, they've been in a lot of pressure games, you know, and they've done pretty well in them. They've won 3 MAC tournaments in their 4 years as seniors here. So they've been in a lot of elimination games and done fairly well. You know, we beat Arizona last year. So rely on your work, rely on what you've been through, and just go out and play hard.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's the great message to send to those kids, especially as they're going to be going on to greater things in their lives. Nate Oates, head coach for the Buffalo Bulls, who are taking on Arizona State tomorrow in the West Region first round. And we started the interview with the question about Bobby Hurley, who is your adversary in this game. How do you match up with them? How do you beat them? And is there an advantage because you do know him, or I guess it may be the other way, because he knows you as well?
Yeah, you know, I've definitely watched a lot more Arizona State games than I've watched any other high major, just because, you know, me and Bobby are friends, so I wasn't really watching them necessarily, trying to scout them when I watched them through the course of the year, but I do have a better feel for them than I would anybody else we'd have played in the first round. So, you know, that's an advantage, but he's got the same advantage because I know he's watched a lot of Buffalo games, a lot more than anybody else he probably would have played either. So, I would rather not play him, but, you know, I know them pretty well. He knows us pretty well. Shoot, we're still running some of the same plays. I kept some of the same plays from when he was a head coach, so our guys are familiar with some of the stuff. He's obviously got some new stuff, and the personnel is all different. But, you know, we only knew we were going to play them, though, late last night. We didn't even meet with our guys after the game. We hoped that they would get better right away. So this morning's the first time we actually knew who we were playing, because they had the playing game in Dayton. So we've been trying to prepare a little bit. It's just hard when you don't know exactly who you're playing.
Yeah, no, I can imagine it is. You're just kind of hoping you make yourself better and not even thinking about how the game plan is going to work. Before I let you go, Coach, I'm interested in this, and a lot of people will be interested in this. The storyline around you and Bobby and Buffalo and Arizona State, it's compelling and it's interesting, and it's an extra reason to watch. But when you walk out on the court, what's the handshake going to be? Is it going to be loves and hugs, or are you going in there with the game face on?
Well, you know, the initial handshake probably won't be game face. When the ball goes up, if you know Bobby at all, you're going to know it. The first call that doesn't go his way, he ain't going to care who's on the other end coaching the team. He's going to be all over it. So it'll probably be good until the ball goes up. As soon as the ball goes up, he's going to be all over his team, his players, his assistants, the refs. And I'm just going to have to worry about trying to figure out how to get a win for Buffalo. It'll be an intense game, and then we'll shake hands at the end and be friends again.
Yeah, no, that'll be awesome. 4 p.m. Eastern on TNT. Nate Oates, head coach of the Buffalo Bulls, will be taking on Arizona State and Bobby Hurley. Good luck, Coach. I can't wait to watch. It'll be entertaining either way, and I'm glad I got a chance to chat with you a little bit. Be well.
No, thanks, Tiki. Appreciate you having me on.
Be well. Coach Oates, Nate Oates, SUNY Buffalo head coach. I mean, great story. He was a head coach at Romulus High in Detroit. They didn't have a great budget there. He built that program up. Obviously, as he detailed, he got a chance to hang around and meet not only Bobby, but Danny Hurley. And Bobby, when he got hired at Buffalo, one of his first hires, his top assistant, was Nate Oates. They together built an amazing program at Buffalo. 4 of the last 5 MAC championships have gone to the Buffalo Bulls, 3 of those with Nate Oates at the head coach. It was great to catch up with him. We will chat down the line with another head coach who's playing in this NCAA tournament. Lon Kruger of the University of Oklahoma will join us at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, the top of our 5 o'clock hour. But later on in this hour, Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College analyst and writer, will talk more about the NCAA tournament. We'll take your calls here, 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
That's Auburn's victory over New Mexico State. It came down to the wire. The call courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Ack hasn't here for an update yet, but he will be back at the end of this segment to see what's going on in the NCAA tournament. But there's a lot of interesting games happening right now. The ones that have already gone down, the Auburn game was close. Michigan State was having a little bit of trouble with Bradley, and they are continuing to have a little bit of trouble. In fact, they went into the break down a point to the Bradley Braves, 35-34. Florida State finished off Vermont. Vermont kept that one close for a lot of the game, 76-69. And Florida State was one of those trendy picks, the four seed out in the West region, because of how well they played in the ACC tournament, obviously beating my Virginia Cavaliers in the semifinal and giving Duke a game for about a half, a little bit over the half, but then Duke started to pull away, mostly because of Trey Jones's playmaking ability. There is a lot of interesting storylines that I think are going to happen in the next couple of days, and especially if we get some upsets. Now, DeSalle and I were talking about our brackets, and I look at my bracket, and I think I'm akin to a lot of people that do these bracket challenges. Now, we get inundated, right, with the experts' opinions on who's going to be the Cinderella that rules the day, that's going to take our emotions, and which heavily favored team is going to rue the missed opportunity because they lost to an underdog. Kind of similar to Buffalo beating Arizona last year. Let's not forget, Arizona had a lottery pick and DeAndre Ayton on their squad. They lost in the first round to Buffalo. I mean, that was huge. Big upsets. And when I look at my bracket for this 2019 NCAA tournament, I have some upsets. I have Belmont beating Maryland. I have Murray State, which is kind of not really an upset because of John Morant beating Marquette. So a 12 beating a 5 over in the South. I have Mount St. Mary beating who did I have them beating? St. Mary beating Villanova, who is a defending champion. Right, we always desire to have an upset. Right, we want to see it. There's this this feeling that it's cool to see the upset, but ultimately, it's like, we saw the upset, and then let's move on from it. Like, do we, the Cinderella run that is really more lore now than it is actuality, because it happened. The ones that were meaningful happened a while ago. They're still fresh on people's minds, but they happened a while ago. I think we all want upsets. I think we all kind of desire to see the little guy best the big dog and make a run. But ultimately, when I get to my Elite Eight or even my Sweet 16, it's all the blue bloods, right? I have a 1-16 upset. I have FDU beating Gonzaga, and I think it'd be great. Just like Virginia last year, Virginia lost to UMBC, which wasn't great, obviously, because I'm a UVA alumni. But as soon as UMBC won, most people were like, okay, cool story, but yeah, get knocked off. So I have FDU beating Gonzaga and then getting knocked off by Baylor, right? So it's one of these psychology of us in our watching behavior. We want to see the upsets, but we don't actually want to see those smaller mid-major teams go far. We want to see the stars playing, right? We don't want to see Zion Williamson getting knocked out of the NCAA tournament in the third round, in the Sweet 16 round. We don't want to see that. We want the guys who we've championed all season long, who we either were told or we watched in person dominate college basketball, be playing for national championships. And the same, it's interesting because the same thing applies in the NBA. And I think it's why teams like Portland, DeSalle brought this up, and he's right, teams like Portland, who have two really good players. I mean, Damian Lillard is as good a player as there is in the NBA. He's probably not top five, but he's likely top 10 in the NBA. C.J. McCollum, he's fun. He's young. He's energetic. We've had him on the show a couple times. You really like the dude. And, you know, together, they are a fantastic backcourt. But do you want to see him playing in the NBA championship? Probably not. We want to see the James Hardens or the Russell Westbrooks, the MVPs. We want to see LeBron, even though the Lakers and LeBron aren't going to make it this year. It's almost like we have this desire for disruption. But when it really comes down to it, we're kind of stuck liking the status quo or desiring the status quo because it's familiar. We want the familiar. Now, some people may disagree with me. Some people may like the chaos and the disorderly nature, especially that March Madness brings you. But as I look at my bracket right now, I'm 2 in the green and 2 in the red. LSU beat Yale. I thought Yale would win. Minnesota upset Louisville. Obviously, I thought Louisville won. Florida State holds on and beats Vermont. And Auburn beat New Mexico State. That's what we just heard coming into this segment. So 4 games are done right now. There's a couple that are at halftime. Michigan State is up 4 now, up 5 now against Bradley coming out of the half. So hopefully they get on track because I have them going forward. But when I go look at my Elite Eight, it's all the teams that you would expect. Duke, Michigan State, Florida State is there only because of how well they played in the ACC tournament. Maybe I have an ACC bias. Nevada, who is a 7th seed, but earlier in the season they were a top 5 squad. And because they have twins on their Martin brothers, I still have an affinity for them. Then on the other side with Midwest, it's Kentucky and Auburn who won the SEC. Cincinnati, because of how well they play defense, even though they're also a 7th seed. And I think going through Iowa, if they beat them in the first round, then Tennessee, who I have moving forward. Tennessee's been vulnerable this year. It just kind of makes sense that Cincinnati could push through, then beat Purdue and play Virginia in the Elite Eight. So when it comes down to it, I have all the blue bloods, even though I have probably 6 or 7 upsets at the beginning of the tournament, the first 2 rounds of the tournament. But when it comes down to it, I want to see the guys who I know. It just is what it is. I have familiarity. And I want the guys who I've talked about all season to be competing for the NCAA championship. Gary Parrish will join us on the other side of Richard Ackerman's update. He is CBS Sports' college analyst and writer for college basketball. Gary Parrish will join us on the other side of the break. Before we get there, here's Richard Ackerman with an update.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
That's Scott Graham on Westwood One NCAA Radio Network calling Florida State's victory over Vermont. Vermont gave them a little bit of a game early on, but Florida State is able to pull away at the end and get the win. Gary Parrish, CBS Sports college basketball analyst and writer, joins us now on Tiki and Tierney. Gary, how you doing? You enjoying the first round so far?
Yeah, it's been fun up to this moment. My bracket still does not have a loss, so far so good.
Wow, you got them all right. You picked the upset of Minnesota over Louisville. Look, we talked to a lot of people. Seth Greenberg from ESPN, we talked to yesterday. I said this on Tuesday. Felt it was unfair that the NCAA or the selection committee didn't kind of finagle that not to happen with Richard Pitino having to take on his father's former team. What'd you think about that?
You know, from my perspective, I loved it because I love storylines, and it's an obvious, obviously interesting storyline. Richard Pitino coaching it against the school that fired his father in October 2017. But the more and more I thought about it, I think I came around to where you probably were, which is, you know, Chris Mack, the Louisville coach, made this point yesterday. He said, you know, these are lifetime memories for these players, some of whom will never be back here again. Some of whom have never been here before, and nobody's focused on them at all.
Right.
It's all about the former Louisville coach and the current Minnesota coach coaching against, you know, the University of Louisville. And I think the way Chris put it was, I wish the committee would have had a little more self-awareness to maybe avoid this. And so I totally accept that as a reasonable point of view. Like on a surface level, it gave me things to talk about. but I can understand how it's a little awkward for everybody involved.
Yeah, of course. Sports Talk Radio, this is what it's built upon. You love these things. But it's interesting because I just got off the phone with Nate Oates, who's the Buffalo Bulls head coach, as you know. And, you know, they're playing the play-in game that they're seated against is Bobby Hurley. You know what I mean? It's almost like the coincidence is too coincidental to be coincidence. You know what I mean?
Well, as somebody who has put together brackets before, I can tell you that almost any place that you fall, once you start looking through the bracket, you'll find things there that can make it look like you did it on purpose, but it really just sort of landed that way. There's going to be a coach coaching against a former assistant, or a coach coaching against his alma mater or a school he used to be at. And so I don't know that the selection committee seeks these things out, and they insist that they don't. But I do think they are humans, and there's probably places where they go, oh, wow, look what we just did. That's interesting. let's just keep that the way it is. And I actually think Nate's situation is on some level a little tougher than the situation Richard Pitino was in, because Richard Pitino wasn't coaching against a close friend or a mentor. You know, Nate Oates is going to have to coach against Bobby Hurley. And what that means is for both of those guys, this great professional moment will have to come at the expense of somebody that you care about.
Yeah.
And that's less than ideal. I've heard coaches say it forever, and I believe it when they say it. They do not like coaching against former assistants. They do not like coaching against close friends, because there's only two outcomes to a basketball game. If you win it, it means your close friend took a loss. And if you lose, obviously, you don't want that either.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what Coach Oates said. He said, otherwise, I'd be cheering for Bobby to go all the way. We're talking to Gary Parrish, CBS Sports college analyst for the basketball. Let me ask you a couple of news story-wise before we get into what's going on in the brackets right now. The Colin Perry to UCLA rumor, he shot it down and said he's going to be there for the long haul. But should we believe him?
I do believe him, not necessarily that he has no interest in doing anything other than retiring at Kentucky, but I do believe him when he says he's not going to UCLA. That just doesn't make much sense. I've always thought if John were going to leave Kentucky voluntarily, it would be for a great NBA opportunity, like a set-up-to-win opportunity, because still to this day, his only professional failure is as an NBA head coach. Mm-hmm. And he'll actually, if you ever bring this up to him, try to argue with you about whether or not he failed, because he'll point out that this, and that, and every fired coach has a story. But I do think that there was a time where he was anxious to maybe try to fix that part of his resume. But the truth is, he's making so much money at Kentucky now, and he really is somebody who keeps score by money. Like, I can't imagine him taking a pay cut.
And
he makes $9 million a year. There's only so many basketball jobs you can make that kind of money at. And UCLA, I don't think, is one of them. They've never paid a coach more than $3 million a year. I can't imagine they'd put together a package good enough to lure John away from Kentucky. And then, why would you want to – you know, UCLA is just as intense, maybe not from a fan perspective, but from a job pressure perspective, as Kentucky. At best, you would call it a lateral move, and I don't see John making a lateral move.
Yeah, and what he has at Kentucky right now is a reputation, a success reputation. It almost handles the recruiting by itself. UCLA is going through a down period right now. The other story that just broke a couple seconds ago, Marquise Bolden for Duke will play in the NCAA tournament after missing the last five or six games or so. I think it was the first UNC game. What impact do you think that has, if any?
Well, it obviously makes them bigger, but I'm not sure it makes them better. Like, keep in mind, they just won the ACC tournament without him. And though he is a talented former five-star prospect, there had been times this season when Duke would get into tight situations against teams that were playing a little smaller, where people, smart basketball minds, would say, Mike Krzyzewski needs to get Marquise Bolden off of the court. Like, he can't play in this game, because when other teams, put him in pick-and-roll situations and make him guard in space, he's not great at guarding in space. And so I'm sure Mike's happy to have him back. You know, the more bodies, the better, particularly this time of the year. But I've never been convinced that they're not better letting Zion handle some of the five responsibilities on the defensive end.
Yeah.
And just playing, And when I say play small, they're not even small. Like, R.J. Barrett's 6'7". You know, Cam Reddish is 6'7". Zion's right there. But I just mean not having a traditional big man. I think I like Duke without a traditional big on the floor. But I'll let the Hall of Fame coach figure that out.
Yeah, no, look, they can play with anybody. It's almost like the Warriors, because Zion, who can get a rebound and bring the ball up court because he's got some handles. It's almost,
well, you know what?
It's almost easier.
That's a great point that you make, and I remember talking to Mike Krzyzewski about it back in November as we were still sort of learning about this team and starting to realize that Zion is this type of basketball player, because he didn't have this reputation coming out of high school as being a complete player.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't the consensus number one player in his high school class or the consensus number one projected pick of the 2019 NBA draft. But I was in Maui when Duke lost to Gonzaga in the championship game. But I remember talking to Mike Krzyzewski, and he said one of the things that makes this team, he had already realized, so dangerous and really unstoppable in many ways, is that they have four guys on the court at all times, Zion included, who can take the ball off the rim and go.
Yeah.
They do not have to look for somebody else, and that becomes really difficult for the opposition to deal with.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. Gary Parrish, CBS Sports college analyst, a basketball writer as well, joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. Let's get into some of these games. And before I get to that, let me ask you, what do you think the theme is going to be of this year's NCAA tournament? We have some really great teams, a collection of recruiting classes with Duke, et cetera. Virginia trying to come off of a 116 loss last year. What's going to be the theme of this year?
I think this is Zion's tournament until Duke is eliminated, or unless Duke is eliminated. He has been the story of college basketball all season. He is one of the biggest brands in basketball right now at any level of the sport. I mean, when you start talking about one name superstars, basketball players, you know, it's LeBron, it's Steph, and I really do think it's Zion. Like, he probably is in the top five, in the world right now in terms of basketball players that make people pay attention. And I would imagine every Duke game of this NCAA tournament is going to be the highest-rated game that is on and whatever day they're playing. And as long as he marches this thing through through the second weekend and into the Final Four, he will be the dominant storyline. It's very rare. In fact, I was trying to think of other times the other day and couldn't really come up with anything great. It's very rare for a single player to be the biggest brand in an NCAA tournament. But I really do think Zion Williamson is the biggest brand in this NCAA tournament right now.
I think it's funny, you're right. Are you? I knew you did a bracket, because we all do brackets. All right, Duke or the field? What are you taking?
I would pick the field if you told me Duke or the field. But I do have Duke as my national champion. I think they're the best team. They've got the best talent. They've got the greatest coach of all time. That's an incredible combination. But they are not unbeatable, and they're not unstoppable, and it won't be the craziest thing in the world if they are beaten somewhere along the way. I'd be shocked if it were in round of 64 or round of 32, but by the time they get to the Sweet 16, they will be playing real basketball teams that can't match them player for player, but can play with them in a 40-minute game. And so I'll take Duke to win the national championship. But if you told me, here's $5,000, do you want the field or do you want Duke? I'll take the field, and I'd say that about any field in any season, because statistically speaking, that's always the right side to be on.
Yeah, no, it's almost impossible to pick one team and they go all the way. We all know the statistics. All right, so four or three ACC teams are the number ones: Duke, Virginia, and UNC. The other one is Gonzaga. They lost to St. Mary in their conference championship, and it was a kind of an ugly game. Some people have FDU beating them. I am one of them in my bracket. Do you think Cinderellas are going to be a storyline in this year's NCAA tournament?
I think they could be today, tomorrow, and this weekend. But I think by the time we get to the Elite Eight, let's just say, that the teams that have established themselves as the best in the country are going to be the ones still playing for this national championship. I went and looked this up a couple of days ago. The number one seeds and the number one two, and the number two seeds in this tournament. So we're talking about Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Tennessee, Michigan State, and I'm forgetting another two seed, North Carolina.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky, I mean. So those eight teams, I just sort of, when I looked at it, I was like, you know, those have been like the best teams in the country all season. And so I went back to just randomly the last week of January, looked at the AP poll. Those eight teams were all in the top nine. My point being, these teams that looked great and have put together incredible resumes are playing well right now. They established themselves pretty early in the season as the upper level of the sport. I think there really is a gap after those eight. You could maybe throw another team here or there, but those teams separated themselves, and I think they're going to be the last one standing. I'll put it this way. Sometimes when we get to the Final Four or we get to the national championship game, you'll look at who's left and go, man, I can't believe that team's here. I don't think by the time we get to the Final Four, and certainly not by the national championship game, you're going to look at who's left and say anything other than, yep, I could see these teams getting here. Maybe they're not the two teams I picked to play for the title, but these were always two of the best teams in the country.
Yes, according to Gary Parrish, we're talking chalk. Just go chalk. Just go. It's too late now because the game's already started. Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College basketball analyst and writer, joins us here on Tiki and Tierney. Is there a surprise team that we should keep an eye out for? I like Nevada. They've played poorly at times, great at other times. Is there a team that we should keep an eye out for?
I would say UC Irvine. And they open tomorrow against Kansas State. And even though that is a 4 seed against a 13 seed, the point spread is very, very tight. And the reason is because Irvine's better than I think certainly the casual basketball fan realizes. I'm not going to try to pretend that they played in the ACC or the Big Ten because it didn't. But that's a team that's on a 16-game winning streak. It's a team that's already won 30 times this year. It's a team that beat the St. Mary's team at St. Mary's early on. That's the same St. Mary's team, as you pointed out, beat Gonzaga in the WCC tournament title game. Meantime, Kansas State is almost certainly going to be without its second leading scorer and leading rebounder in Dean Wade. Combine that with the fact UC Irvine is one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. If you are looking for a double-digit seed to maybe bounce into the Sweet 16 from a traditional mid-major league, UC Irvine's a pretty solid pick.
All right, give me, Gary, before we let you go, give me your Final Four right now. Duke is obviously there. Who do you like otherwise?
Well, you mentioned chalk. It's mostly chalk. I've got Duke and Gonzaga playing in one national semifinal. I've got Tennessee and North Carolina playing in the other. So I've got three number one seeds and a number two seed. Duke, Carolina in the championship game. That would be the first time that they've ever played in the NCAA tournament, which is remarkable given how often they're in the NCAA tournament. You would have thought they'd have just stumbled into each other at some point. It's never happened, but it's got a chance to happen on the final Monday night of this season. And then I've got Duke winning the national championship. Close game, but Zion Williamson being the most outstanding player of the Final Four, which means his bullet point resume will be ACC Player of the Year, ACC Tournament Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, most outstanding player in the Final Four, national champion, and then number one pick, of course, in the 2019 NBA draft.
Wow, that'll be the fourth time, if that should happen, according to Gary Parrish's bracket, the fourth time this year that Duke and UNC would play. Obviously, they played in the ACC semifinals. Duke won that game. And I will forgive you, Gary, for having Tennessee, I'm assuming, beating my Virginia Cavaliers in the Elite Eight.
They did get that far. And you know what? I do think it would be a tremendous story to go, you know, inside of a year, being the first one to ever lose to a 16, to being a national champion. And I will tell you, they're good enough to do it. You know, they've got multiple NBA players. They're top three in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. They're number one, according to the reputable computers. Anybody who is being influenced at all by what happened to Virginia last season is crazy. Yeah. I don't have them winning the title, but I understand they're certainly capable of winning the whole thing.
Well, I do, Gary. So there, get off my lawn.
you might end up right. I will tell you, your alma mater's got a better chance of winning a national championship than most other people's alma maters, mine included.
That's true. Gary Parrish, I appreciate you joining me, man. Good luck. Enjoy the games, as we all will. It's always a pleasure catching up with you, my friend.
Thanks, Tiki. I'll see you.
Gary Parrish, Lon Kruger, Oklahoma Sooners head coach, coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.